Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
I don't know about you guys, but I got saved during the welcome. I got saved during worship again. Got saved during that testimony. I was wanting to rush the stage for Twisted. I was like handing the microphone. I don't even need to preach, but I'm going to. You all can give each other a high five and take a seat. Thank you, wonderful worship team. You all are amazing. Man, what a touch of God during worship, hey? It wasn't even a touch. It was like the whole thing. I'm like, it was so good. It was so good. But I'm so excited to be with you this morning, and I always consider it such an honor to be on this platform, and don't take it lightly. And I just want to honor Pastors Jurgen and Leanne. They're not here. They're preaching it up at other campuses, but I'm always so grateful to their teaching and their leadership, and it's honestly made me who I am today, so I'll be eternally grateful. We've got some wonderful senior pastors with a vision that included all of us. So that's a really good thing. And speaking of people that included us, Pastors Drew and Emma, love you guys. Campus pastors. I remember when Drew came in as an intern, we had him start in media because he said he could do like videos. He had no idea the future. But I love that. I love that you can step into this church, do some videos, and then become a campus pastor. It's a raise and release kind of a church. So we're going to get into it this morning. I've got a word that is in my spirit. And honestly, this word isn't even so much about what I'm going to say. I honestly felt from God it's an impartation of faith this morning. And you only can really impart something when you have it to be able to give away. And so I just feel this so much in my spirit today, a faith that I want to help each one of you catch this morning. So I would just encourage you to open your heart, open your ears to what God wants to speak to each and every one of us. I'm going to start in 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. It says this. This is the New Living Translation. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are going to be renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things that we cannot see will last forever. The title of my message today is called Faith in the Middle. Faith in the Middle. And how many people, maybe like me, you're living your life and the unexpected happened. Some people it's the good unexpected, some people it's the bad, but you kind of look at parts of your life and you're like, wow, I didn't expect that. I didn't expect that pain. I didn't expect that journey. I didn't expect for this to happen. I feel like that's been the story of my life. Like, what just happened? You know? And in fact, I'll tell you a little story because I'm kind of a storyteller. So just prepare yourself. You'll get to learn through my ridiculousness that sometimes is my life. But I can remember, you know, it's like in life, you just think, you know, I'm just going to go from point A to point B. But then it doesn't seem to work like that. One day when I was here in San Diego, and I was it was actually my very first like career job that I had. I was in outside sales, and I was so excited. And my manager had taken me out for the week and introduced me to clients that I was going to be building relationships with, and kind of showed me the ropes. And this one day, it was my very first day to go out on my own. And so I'm like, all right, you know, I'm excited, I'm nervous, look at it, I'm like optimistic. So I jump in my car, and now my car was a company car, and so I jump in the car and I go on all my appointments. Everything's happening, everything's awesome. By the end of the day, I'm like feeling so good. I build up some relationships, I'm closing some sales, it's awesome. So I'm so excited to give the report back to my manager. And as I'm driving down the 8 freeway, a couple like cars in front of me, there is a truck and it's got like these mattresses in the back of it. And as I'm driving and it's rush hour, it's 5 o'clock, everybody's on the road at the 8 freeway. We know we all live in San Diego, right? And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a mattress comes flying out of the car that's in front of me, smashes my car, literally hits it. I hear this big, huge, like, bang, like, pull over to the side of the road. I can't go anywhere because there's cars on my left, cars on my right, cars in front of me, cars behind me. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And so I, like, pull to the side of the road when I can, and I get out of my car, and I'm just like, my car just got hit by a mattress. Like, who does that happen to? And I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, what am I gonna tell my boss? It's my first day, people. My first day out by myself. I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. So I call, the story gets better, don't you worry. You think that's crazy? Here's what happens. I call my boss and I'm like, hi, Stacy. Oh my gosh, Stacy, how did your day go? I'm like, yeah, fabulous, yeah, yeah. Did really good with the clients, but the thing is that a mattress just hit my car, company car, not even my car. And my boss, he says to me, he goes, it just goes silent. He goes, Stacy, are you safe? And I said, yes, I believe that I am. And he said, okay, I'm going to need you to come straight to the office and go straight upstairs to the main office where my father is. His father owned the whole company. I'm like, oh my God, I just lost my job. Like, it's the very first day. I lost it. I'm like, oh my goodness. So I'm like driving there, like so nervous. And I get to the office and there they are waiting for me. And I come in and they're like, Stacy, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I think so. Maybe not after this conversation. And then they sit me down and the father says, he says, look, I just want to let you know, sweetheart, I'm just glad you're safe because the exact same thing happened to my wife. And I'm like, what two people in the world get hit by a mattress? Like, what are the odds? And he goes, yeah, but here's what happened. She got, same thing happened. The mattress hit her car. But she didn't realize, you know, she didn't just pull over and stop like you did. She just kept going. And what she didn't know was that the mattress got hooked on the back of the car and she was dragging it down the freeway. There was smoke. This mattress was lit on fire. He goes, the people next to her are literally going, stop, pull over, pull over. And she's like, yeah, no, hi, I'm fine, hi. And so she just keeps going. And this mattress is on fire on the back of her car. And he says, finally, somebody is like, roll down your window. He's like, there's a fire. She starts to smell smoke. She looks behind, she sees the fire. She pulls over to the side of the road, gets out of her car, and her car blows up. This is a true story, people. Life doesn't go as we expected. So he goes, believe me when I tell you, sweetheart, I'm just glad you're safe. Story of my life. I'm telling you, some things don't happen the way I got up that morning and thought, I'm going to go build some relationships. Had no idea what was about to happen. I think that sometimes is the journey of our life. I wake up one day, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, what just happened? How did I get here? I want to talk today about faith in the middle, because I feel like sometimes faith, you know, it doesn't take a lot to have faith in the beginning of something. It's God speaking a word into our spirit, and that's exciting. Dreaming a dream isn't difficult. It's a dream. You could lie in a bed and do it. Like, you like dreaming. It's amazing. And then you get a word from God and you get excited about that. Or even then the end result, when you actually receive the miracle, the dream comes true, you're like, oh, thank you. But I don't know about you, but we don't so much live our lives so much in the beginning or in the end result. We live it in the middle. So I want to talk this morning about how to have faith in the middle. And not just faith where we don't quit, but actually faith to live the most beautiful life as we are continuing to contend for the things that God has spoken in our world. Amen? I think that sometimes all of us live a life in a contradiction. We are absolutely ecstatic and joyful about certain things in our life, but then we are absolutely 100% believing for the miraculous. We're believing for something in our world, a circumstance, a situation, a sickness, a disease, a relation, something we're believing for. Am I right? And I want us this morning not to quit, but to live the best life that we can in the middle of the process. So I'm just going to share a little bit from my own story, some things that have happened kind of along the way that has built a faith in me to learn how to squeeze the joy out of every moment, regardless of the beginning or the end. So number one, I have found that this has worked for me. Don't turn back. Number one, don't turn back. Have faith. To have faith means to be faithful. Even when we don't get it or we don't understand, you know, the Bible's interesting because God says that his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. We're always like, why doesn't he get it? Well, he does. We just don't. Because his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. The Bible says that in Isaiah 55:8. In fact, in the New Living Translation, it says this: my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. I thought about it like this. Sometimes we forgive people, but it's hard to forget. Right? Like we have to choose over and over and over again to forgive and to forget. But God forgives sin, the Bible says, and he remembers it no more. Like God's thoughts, his ways are different to us. It's a concept that's hard to rationalize sometimes, but it's something that we can truly never really figure out. And I kind of like that about God. He's not, if we could figure him out, then I don't know what kind of big, huge, magnificent God that would be. Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 13:12. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. Sometimes it's not about the thing or the situation or the circumstances. Sometimes it's just enough to know that God knows me completely. I think no human in the world, even ones that love each other so much, will never truly understand each other 100%. But God in heaven does. And right now, on this side of eternity, we can't understand everything. But I love that God says, that's okay. One day you will. One day it'll be very clear. But for right now, is it enough to know that I know you and I love you completely? I kind of think in my life, and this is just kind of the way my brain works, but what's the alternative? I'm like, okay, something bad happens, pain hits, we're grappling with it. What do we do? I in my life, I don't know anymore how to turn back. It's taken a lot of years, and by no means, I'm not saying that as somebody is perfect. I am in a journey. But I'm just saying that, what is the alternative? I was, you know, doing a little research, and faith means confidence, conviction, truth, belief, allegiance, assurance, dependence. I like those words. I want to live a life like that. That's solid in our spirit. You know, the opposite of faith is fear. Fear says it's distrust, doubt, uncertainty. I don't want to live there. I don't want to live in doubt and uncertainty and earth trembling underneath my feet. Sometimes we don't get it. Sometimes we don't understand. And sometimes we don't even know, you know, the end result. But I think we still have to learn how to choose to have faith right there in the middle. God, you know, sometimes we ask the question, God, did I do everything you wanted me to do? Or I thought I believed God in the best way that I knew how, and yet the result isn't happening the way that I thought it was going to. The answer to that question lies in Job and Simon and the disciples. And these are kind of extreme circumstances, but Job was doing everything right. He was living a wonderful, righteous life when Satan came and asked for him. And God allowed it. God didn't inflict the pain because he doesn't have pain to give. God didn't inflict the sickness because he has no sickness to give. But if there was an allowance, and I love Job because he says in the Bible, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. You know the thing about Job that's so amazing to me is he wasn't privy to the end of his story. We read it in the Bible and we know that his life will be restored. We know that even though he lost wife and children and had every kind of disease inflicted upon his body and his friends left him and no one understood him, we know the end of the story that God said, I will give you double for your trouble. But he didn't know that. And yet he says, though you slay me, yet will I praise you. That's some faith. What a way to live. I think of Simon. And the Bible says this in Luke 23, 31 through 32. It says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you all like wheat. And this is God. But I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail. And when you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. Do you know that God himself prays for us? I pray. Satan has asked for you. Not because he was doing everything wrong, but because he was doing everything right. I think the devil sometimes goes after us when we're doing everything right, not when we've messed up. Sometimes we're like, oh my gosh, all these things have happened to me. I've messed up. I'm like, we mess up all on our own. Like the devil doesn't even need to mess with that part. He's like, and the devil's funny because the devil's not like God. He's not omnipotent. He's not everywhere at one time. He's like, oh, they got their mess going on. I don't even need to touch that one. Like when we're in a mess, we know it. I think sometimes it's harder on the opposite side of things when we're really going for it. When we're really trying, when we're living a life in accordance with the Bible, and no, none of us are perfect, and God doesn't expect us to be. But it's at those times that the devil will come and try to shake us with fear. And I think we don't have to give in to that. You know, the Bible says that even Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted. He wasn't led by the devil. What if sometimes we are blaming the devil for what God has led us to? I was researching some of the definitions of faith, and one of them was unity. We have faith means we have unity with God. I think God cares more about our relationship than he does about our circumstances. That's hard as humans. It's hard for us to get. But I think that sometimes we are focused on the result, the situation, the unexpected, and God's focus is us. Our relationship with him. We're in a fight, but let's make sure to not turn back, because one day we'll have the opportunity to read our story through God's lens and light, and we'll gain an understanding. So right now, we just need to keep the faith and not turn back. Y'all with me this morning? Number two, be content. Choose joy while contending. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick, but a longing fulfilled is the tree of life. I kind of believe, like, let's not only hope, let's believe. God created something out of nothing. He created man from dust. He created woman from a rib. Like, God is able to do the unimaginable in our lives. Let's believe. Let's have hope in the creator of the universe. If we can believe the very first sentence of the Bible that God is and he created, we should be able to believe anything. Ephesians 3:20 says this, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. God is able to work within us. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're working it out. We are working it out. I don't know about you, but I've just made a choice in my life that no matter what happens, I'm going to go out fighting. I'm going to go out swinging. In 1 Timothy 6:12, it's the good fight of faith. The Bible even tells us it is a fight. There is a contending to do for faith. It says, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and when you were made, and when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight. Contending for contentment. Because I don't know about you, but when life and situations and pain happens, I think as humans, the normal thing to do is just want to throw in the towel. Too painful, too hurtful, don't want to deal. But that's in those times that we've got to contend. And contend for what? I've learned in my life, I don't want to live life without joy. I don't want to live life unhappy and miserable. And it's easy to choose. Situations, life happens that we don't expect. Do we succumb to those things, or do we just make a choice deep down on the inside? Come hell or high water, I'm choosing joy. I'm choosing faith. I'm choosing to live a life beyond what the natural has given me. When we find ourselves in pain, I want to encourage us to find the voice of Jesus and let him minister to us. T.D. Jakes said this, every great leader will be tested by pain. Nobody escapes. No matter how anointed, talented, or gifted you are, you only win if you do not quit. See, I've had pain in my life that no human word would suffice. It just won't fulfill. They're nice. I like the voices of wisdom in my life. But I don't know about you, but sometimes I need the voice of God himself to minister deep into my spirit. I think some of the greatest miracles are the ones that happen on the inside of our heart. I think the greatest miracles are the fact that life maybe hasn't turned out the way it should have or the way we thought it was going to, and yet God has so ministered to me that yet will I praise him. The best tool probably I've learned in my life is that when certain things snag me, no matter how big or how small, in that moment, this is what I've learned to do. I just stop, I pause, and I go, God, minister to me. Sometimes we try to reject the pain. We try to reject what's happening. No, grief has, we can have grief, but it also has an expiration date on it. And I find that pain also does too. It's got an expiration date. If we just properly process those things. See, because if we deny that the reality that they actually happened, then that creates a hardness in our heart. But instead, just allowing it to go, you know what? That was painful. That hurt. That word, that thing that was done, that thing that wasn't understood, that was painful. And we release it to God himself. And then we go, God, minister to me right now. I'm telling you, he does. The miraculous breaks out. I look back on my life and, you know, many of you wouldn't know this, but kind of my story on coming out to San Diego. It's so funny. I look back and I go, oh my gosh, my family was in Ecuador. I grew up on the mission field. And when I was graduating high school, I was praying to God, God, where do you want me? Where should I go? And I felt him say, go to college, but do it in the U.S. Come to America and get a degree. And so I did. I left my family, and I've got this amazing family. And so I made the big decision to move away and come to the U.S. and go to college. And so I did. And I'll never forget, I'm sitting there in one of my classes, and I went to a Christian college, and one of the classes was like successful Christian living, or just Christian living, which was awesome, by the way. I'm like, more schools should teach that. And so I'm sitting there as a student, and there's the teacher, and she's speaking, and as she's speaking, she's really ministering, to be honest. And I'm like watching her and you know, taking notes and the whole nine. And then I just start looking at her, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, I should be her. I'm just being transparent, you guys. Okay. So I'm sitting there in my young college years going, oh my gosh, I could totally see myself like teaching, ministering, like that's so me. But I'm behind the desk and she's up front teaching. And I'm like, I feel like I should be that. How beautiful of God that he doesn't just go, yes, Stacy, that's your calling. So I'm gonna give it to you right now. How many people know? It would be the most ridiculous, most inexperienced, most like tragedy to hit the face of a platform. Like that would be horrible to the wonderful, beautiful people that actually need to be taught. And so God, in his beautiful way, was like, yes, sweetheart, that is for you. So a dream, a belief, a calling began, a seed started there. But it wasn't instantaneously harvested. But I didn't understand that at my young age. I'm like, I should just be that. God's like, no. And so I continue on my journey, and then I'm graduating college, and I'm like, God, where do you want me? I can go anywhere, and I'm like, just send me anywhere. And I honestly thought that God was going to send me to a Latin country. I grew up in Ecuador. I love Latin America, and I thought, oh, maybe not Ecuador because I've already been there. Maybe he'll send me to another country. And every time I prayed, I would hear God's voice, and he said, San Diego. I'm like, San Diego? I literally had only been to San Diego once when I was 7 years old after Disneyland. And so I'm like, I know no one in San Diego. I know people all over the world. I know no one in San Diego. And then I'm like, plus, I'm not even one of those girls. Like, I'm not your blonde-haired, blue-eyed, beautiful, you know, California girl. And then I'm like, and I'm also not like a, I really love hot weather and the ocean. I'm like I do like those things, but it wasn't like I could go anywhere. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm like, oh, God, like, why would you choose San Diego? But every time I prayed, I would hear San Diego. And so I was like, all right. So I call my family. I'm like, all right, graduating college, going to be moving to San Diego. They're like, great, what's your plan? I'm like, no idea, but I'm going. And my parents are like, all right, you heard from God? Like, go for it. And so I saved up all of $2,000 as a college student, paying my way through college. I met a couple girls that were also moving out here at the exact same time. It's so ridiculous, my story, actually, that this is what happened. I'm like, okay, we're moving to San Diego. I don't know anyone or where I'm going in San Diego. And I'm really bad at geography, by the way. And so my friends can contest to that. And so then I'm like, okay, what do I need in San Diego? A bed. To somewhere to sleep at night. So my friends and I literally hire a truck to put our beds in there. Not that we couldn't buy one in San Diego. I hadn't thought this through, people. I'm like 22 years old. And so we hire a car and a truck. And we tell him, okay, here's our beds. We're going to San Diego. And he's like, great, what's the end address? I'm like, that's a good question. I don't have an address. But here's the thing. We can drive faster than you. So we're going to get there about 2 or 3 days ahead of you. So you just head on out to California, and we'll give you the address on the way. This is a true story, people. What truck company agrees to this? He agreed. And so we give him the address. We don't give him the address. We move on. You know, we're driving to San Diego. Oh, my gosh. We get to San Diego. I arrive in El Cajon. I think that's San Diego. I know we're planning an East Campus, so I'm treading on sacred ground. Just saying, it doesn't have all the palm trees in the water. So I arrive in El Cajon, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what is this place? I get like a room with four other girls. We can't even set up our beds because there's not enough room. We have like mattresses next to one another. Like, it wasn't pretty. And then I'm like trying to find a job, and every job, everything goes wrong. Everything goes wrong. So you'd think at that point, you're like, okay, game over. Like, I'm done. But I'm like, okay, no, I'm still going for it. And so I'm getting, you guys, I had the worst job ever. Like, I took any jobs that I could get. And I was selling, I remember I took a job selling timeshares. Jesus. That's like the bottom of the barrel for sales. Sorry if you've had to do it as well as I have. I'm literally calling people that are dead. I'm like, this is the worst. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, the guy next, I got like promoted to a cubicle. And like, that's pretty awesome. And the guy next to me, like seriously, he was old and he smelled. And I was like, I graduated college. And I call my dad. And I'm like, he's a really good dad, right? So I'm like, he's just going to be like, you know what, sweetheart, check it. Come on home. And so I call my dad. I'm like, Dad, nothing's working out. You know, I'm like, he's going to be like, sweet baby girl, you just come on back. And he goes, Stacy, if God spoke it to you, then your darkest day and your darkest hour will be your greatest miracle. really good dad and a really great pastor. And he knew which hat to put on. And I'm telling you, faith rose in my spirit. And I looked at every hard day and every day that didn't turn out the way that I thought it was going to, though I was believing to be in full-time ministry, though I was believing to be able to minister, I'm telling you, when everything went wrong, that faith began to grow on the inside of me. That's middle ground kind of faith. And I look back now and I thank God. He didn't speed up the process. You know, I didn't get it. I remember sitting there going, I'm like Job. Everything's gone wrong. Slightly dramatic. God can handle us girls. It's okay. Faith in the middle. I think being content and joyful is a lifestyle we choose. Not because everything turns out the way we want it to, but in the face of what has not turned out the way we wanted it to. My last point is point number 3. Choose the right spirit. Choose the right spirit. Do you know that there is a spirit of faith and there is a spirit of fear? Faith and fear are actually attached to spirits because we are body, soul, and spirit. We function in all of those things. The spirit of faith, 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, it is written, I believe, therefore have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Faith is a spirit. Bible says it's a gift of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces faith on the inside of us. And we have a gift that the Holy Spirit gives us, and that is faith. But the opposite is also true. And this was kind of astounding to me, that there is a spirit of fear. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So where does fear come from if it's attached to a spirit? It comes from Satan. And what gift does he give us? Terror. So when we're living a living nightmare, maybe we've tapped into the wrong spirit. And the Bible says for us to test the spirits. He says it right here in 1 John 4:1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. I think one of the greatest prophets of all time has been fear. I think that fear often speaks to us so loudly, and it doesn't come from the Spirit of God. And so it helps us to create this horrible nightmare to live in. But I love God, because in 1 John 4:4, he says, you are God, little children, and overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. See, I think it's really important what spirit that we tap into. When life doesn't go our way, are we tapping into the spirit of faith, or do we turn to fear? And if we've got caught up in fear and we're living in torment, do you know what's the good news? We can choose another way. Test the spirit and know, oh my gosh, that is not of God. I'm going to change my ways. I'm going to flip my switch. I'm going to choose to believe in faith. I think that when we do that, church, then a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego kind of faith, a Daniel kind of faith rises up in our spirit. The kind of faith that says, oh, your majesty, even if you take my life, yet will I praise him. This is what it says. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, that God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he doesn't, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up for us. We want you to know, your majesty, that we will not. Like, how good. That's a serious kind of faith when you're about to be thrown into a fire and go, come what may, yet will I praise him. Yet will I serve him. Yet will I not deny him. Job said it in Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I will maintain mine own ways before him.
You know, the Bible says that the life of the wise winds upward. And can you guys put up that funny little slide that I drew very embarrassingly? Can you put that up on the screen? Oh my gosh, you guys, such an artist. Yeah. Like, this is the real deal, you guys. I drew this morning. Yeah. Just this morning. And it's up on the screen. Well done, media team. You guys are awesome. I think that most of us live our lives and we're going around in a circle. We're circling a situation. We're circling a circumstance. We're circling that thing that will just not go away. We're circling that thing. And we're believing and we're trusting and we're having faith. And sometimes we can think that we're just caught up in these endless circles that kind of look like that one. Just look like we're just going around and around and around. But the Bible says that our life actually winds upward. And so I think a better picture of that is this one. We are going in some circles. We're going around some situations. We're going around some circumstance. Maybe that situation hasn't changed yet, but I bet you we've changed. I bet you we've made some changes. I bet you some faith has been built up on the inside of us. I bet we've got some Daniel kind of faith in here. Come on, let's give God a praise and a shout. Our life is winding upwards. Our life is winding upwards. I don't know about you, but that helped me because I realized though I may be circling some things, it winds upwards. I'm different. I'm different. And I'm going to believe until the day that I die. I'm going to let hope rise on the inside of me. I'm going to let faith rise on the inside of me because the most important thing is our relationship with Jesus. And when we go through all kinds of things that we never expected we would have, you know who we become close to? Jesus himself. I'm going to ask us all just to close our eyes right now. Oh, I feel the presence of God in this place. I feel that hope is rising in some hearts. And I'm going to pray over all of you a prayer of impartation. And right there in your seat, if you can just extend your hands to heaven, you can keep your eyes closed and let this be moments just with God. But raise your hands to heaven. That's just a sign of surrendering to the great God of the universe who has designed each and every one of us and the world in which we live. And I'm going to pray a prayer of faith impartation. See, because I don't know what your life has looked like. I don't know right now if you're standing on a cliff looking at some things that you think, man, it didn't go my way. But God knows, and he's here today injecting faith into you, injecting faith into you. He cares about you. He loves you. And even though some things maybe have been allowed, it is not without the eyes of God, with even God himself praying for us. So right now I just pray, oh God, Lord, I thank you for an injection of faith to rise on the inside of every person that is here or listening to this message. Lord, I thank you right now, Jesus, Lord, that you are ministering deep on the inside of them. I see pains and hurts. I see lacerations over hearts that you felt like, oh my gosh, I'll never get over this. I see God healing those wounds right now. I see God mending the brokenhearted, comforting those who mourn. I see God doing an inner work in some hearts. And oh God, for others, I see your hand at work. People are on the brink of the miraculous. They are on the brink of a breakthrough, oh God. And I thank you, Jesus, that it will come to fruition. I speak faith over their lives right now. Impart faith onto the inside of them that all things are possible. Behold, all things are made new. Thank you, Jesus, pouring out your spirit. You can put your hands down. Keep your eyes closed. For those of you that maybe haven't started that journey, for those of you that you're like, man, I don't even know if I know this God that she's talking about, the one that's so close to her, he can be just as close to you. And all it does is take one prayer to connect those dots. Or maybe there's some of you here that you did have a relationship with God, but if you were honest today, you're like, man, it's just not that strong. I've let the situation, the circumstance, the fear take over, and I've been clinging to that, but it's time to cling to Jesus. So if you are in any of those categories, I want to ask you to do a really brave thing and just to raise your hand, because I want to pray with you a prayer of faith. So if that is you, can you just lift your hand real nice and high just so that I can see it and we can pray with one another?
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.